Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on, with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
I'm so glad you tuned in today, or maybe you're listening online. We have with us a very special guest, and we're going to talk about her in just a minute, and she's going to tell us a lot of tremendous stories and applications under this theme, Extravagant Graces. We're going to tell more about that. But here's the title for today's show. It is Trauma and Drama, How to Respond, How to Prepare. In studio today is Jeanette Chafee, author of the book Extravagant Graces, 23 Inspirational Stories of Facing Impossible Odds. And Jeanette has her own story of trauma and drama, surviving an explosion of a terrorist bomb on a plane she was on. It's just hard for me even to imagine that. What happened, and how did she experience God's extravagant grace, which became the title of her book? And in this book, the stories that she will talk about today illustrate the theme. And that's this: what's one of the most difficult experience you, listener, have faced, and how did God help you survive? We will introduce Jeanette in just a few minutes, but for now, I just want to welcome you to the studio today, and thank you, Jeanette, for coming in. Glad you're here.
Well, thank you. It's such a privilege to be with both of you.
We've had a good time kind of getting geared up for this. Denise, you're back again for more. You keep coming back for this show.
You know, it's irresistible, Dan. The folks that we get to meet and talk to, it's a highlight.
It is.
Of my week.
Absolutely. Thanks. And what we want to do is to share that highlight with our listeners. That's very, very important. So, Jeanette, we're excited to hear about your story and a few of the others that you wrote about in your book, Extravagant Graces.
Well, I started interviewing people 35 years ago.
We're not telling this
to
story.
Present. So my story, Terror in the Sky, I left Portland Airport, said goodbye to my family, prayed a prayer, you know, the kind where you don't remember what you prayed. It was 4:30 in the morning. It was on the last part of my trip going from Rome to Athens. And I was asleep. I felt a gun had gone off in my head. When I opened my eyes, I saw smoke. The bins and oxygen masks had come down. The ceiling was gone. The wires were dangling. And I looked out the window, and the tops of the mountains were way down below.
That's a good place to tease so people will keep listening. Got a couple more things to say. We want to hear that story because I know that was trauma and drama all at once, right?
My heart's already beating hard, and I know the story.
I know. Wow. Well, we want to welcome our listeners to the show today. I am Dr. Dan Critchett, co-host here at Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. And hopefully we've got your attention now because there's some great stuff coming up. And here's our co-host, Dr. Denise Lopez Hogan.
Well, thanks, Dan. I want to encourage folks who are listening today, if you want to be encouraged in your belief that God is with you in the midst of your circumstances, I highly recommend that you read Jeanette Chafee's book, Extravagant Graces. Just a couple of things that people have said about it, just to pique your curiosity. Jim Daly, who is the current president of Focus on the Family, said, "Extravagant Graces is full of stories that will inspire and encourage." And Les Steckel, he is president and CEO of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and also an NFL coach. 33 years he was a coach and has been twice to the Super Bowl. What he said is, "Extravagant Graces is a must read. This book captures the power of how God uses difficulties to shape and guide our lives. You will be encouraged and challenged by the personal stories." And I know I absolutely was. I didn't realize this book just is coming out. It was published in 2014. And if you want to find out a little bit more about it, you might even, if you're at your computer, you might even want to go to Jeanette's website, which is Jeanette Chaffee, JeanetteChaffee.com. And there is a short little clip about this book, as well as some pictures that, if you were to look at them, it would orient you a bit more to the story that she is sharing with us today. So again, thanks for being with us, Jeanette.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's put this in context a little bit. At each of our shows, we touch on one of five categories or five topics or areas, because these are the things that us as boomers and beyonders, the 50-plus crowd, these are the things, the life issues that we're dealing with. And those are, number one, home and family. Number two, health and wellness. Number three, budget and finances. Number three, heart and soul. And number four, work and service. This show today with Jeanette Chaffee and her book, Extravagant Graces, is under the category heart and soul, because it has a lot to do with our faith and our dependence on God and His grace in our lives. We're going to bring those kinds of things out with the specific stories that are going to be briefly reviewed today. So I'm going to do at the top here my usual feature, which is called Who Said That? And so I pick a quote from somebody that most people should know. This is a quote that applies to the topic for today. And here is the quote. And the speaker is anonymous until we get to the end of the show. Here's the quote. When we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust with that important talk can help us know that we are not alone. Mm-hmm. The reason that I picked that quote is because Jeanette has had the privilege of interviewing some people who have been through some very, very difficult things. And a lot of these names that she has interviewed, many of which we won't even be able to get to, but they're recognizable names. And
Absolutely. And so, in it all,
it is the fact that as they are able to talk with her, answer her questions, tell their story, they knew that they could trust her and that they were not alone. The first clue for who said that, and I don't know if you guys are going to get it or not, but we have a surprise at the end. So here's the first clue. This person knew about feelings because, after all, his middle name was McFeely. Really. And it is unlikely that any American boomer or beyonder has not heard his name. And most people referred to him as Mr. rather than using his first name. That's the first clue. Got to be thinking about that.
I'm already feeling pretty confident, Dan.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think got you on this one finally. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's about time you got one. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I was thinking about you when I made the clues.
Oh,
so
I see.
So give you a little bit of a chance.
Oh, I see. You're giving me a little bit of hell.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, let's hear from Jeanette, shall we?
Let's do that. So, Jeanette, you're going to help us deal with our topic today, trauma and drama, how to respond and how to prepare. And this is going to be absolutely the benefit of your hindsight, because when you got on that plane, you weren't prepared at all for what came your way. But now, with the work you've put into your book here, you have much to share with us from your own experience and those of other people on how to be prepared and how to respond to these things that come along. Will you first tell us just a little bit about your story, and then we'll move on from there. So Terror in the Sky is how you titled that.
Yes, I am a survivor of Flight 840 when the bomb explosion blew at 17,000 feet. It's the only time in history that a bomb has been put on board a commercial plane and there have been any survivors.
Incredible.
Of course, not all of us survived. If you look at the front cover of the book, the far right row is where I was, 14 feet from where the bomb exploded. So when I got on that stretch 737, I felt so confident. It's such a strong, big plane, and the wings are so long, and we're packed to capacity on the plane. When I thought the gun had gone off in my head, I actually thought I had died. But then I said, no, I didn't die because we're falling out of the sky.
Mm.
The plane went out of control.
Wow.
We flew for 40 minutes, As I said, the ceiling had come down, the wires dangling. I turned and looked kitty corner 14 feet from me, and that was the second I knew it would be our coffin. I knew that second we would all die. There was no side of the plane.
Wow.
I was looking at blue sky. I didn't know how high we were, but later I found out we were 17,000 feet.
Wow.
People were sucked out. I never heard them scream. Mm. We eventually did actually land, much to what they said, land. I said, land. Whoever thought about landing? I did actually feel Jesus with me in seat 8A. And the injured people as they were brought up to eventually to sit next to me. But I also knew that the next second I blinked, I would be seeing Jesus eye to eye. There was no getting off the plane. You can't jump out the window like you can in a car.
Wow.
So maybe you've had your grandkids on a roller coaster or something, and you're screaming and you're going, ooh, it's really scary. But your unconscious says, I want to go on Splash Mountain again. Your unconscious says, I'm not going to die. When you're really going to die, it's nothing like that.
Wow.
So I really learned that day the brevity of life. The youngest person that died was 8 months old.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
The brevity of life and how important it is. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding, like Philippians 4:7 says. But I also realized that for all the people that were sucked out the hole, they never had a chance to say, I love you again. They never had a chance to make peace and know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it's made me much more aware now with anyone that will listen. I want to share that now is the time to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's what I would encourage our listeners, anytime they go anywhere, to ask the Lord to help them get into conversations where they can share that now is the time. That's my message.
Can you still relate to the feelings that you were feeling at that time? I mean, do they still come up, like in dreams or in the middle of the day? I mean, can you still feel those feelings?
Well, it's like a living video.
Yeah.
As real as it was the years ago when it happened, the terror was like so unbelievable. And my family, of course, didn't have any idea. All they knew was that a bomb had exploded. Mom grabbed the itinerary and saw that I was on it. They were saying some people were alive, some people were dead. So all night through the night, of course, I couldn't sleep thinking about the lady next to me, Nala's burned, terribly burned legs, and Myrtle with her back a bloody mass. The bomb went off in her back. Thinking about, I didn't think it could get any worse, that I had to get off the plane and walk down the dripped blood on the steps.
Mm.
And knowing people had died.
Right.
Then that night, of course, when I couldn't sleep at all, I opened a book and I read Psalm 31:4-5. Oh Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. When I found that, I read it and read it and read it. Oh, Lord, you are my God. My times are in your hands.
Yeah.
That day I knew it.
Yeah. And those feelings that you can still relate to, can our listeners identify an experience or a situation that might even come close to having those same kinds of feelings connected to it?
Well, maybe the listener, maybe your bomb and your tear is that your husband died 3 months ago.
Mm.
Maybe you just found out you have macular degeneration and you love to read. Or your bomb is that your daughter won't have anything to do with you. Or your bomb is you've been on a walker and you're about ready to go in a wheelchair. So there's some kind of terror bomb that I think probably everybody faces.
Yeah,
it
so
might not be on an airplane. It might be with a wheelchair.
Oh, sure. And those feelings are very real. They're like, what am I going to do now? My world just got turned upside down.
Yeah, my world was never the same, of course, after that.
And I love what you said on the bottom of page 19. I was continually struck with God's calming presence in horrific situations. What an incredible gift. And that's what you talk about, that as being what inspired you in your title of Extravagant Graces. But the other thing that comes to mind is your definition. You put that in there: extravagant, lavish, extremely opulent, fabulous. But the last word, it's costly. It's costly. We have to be willing to go through. And it's not a matter of willing. You were there. You had no choice. But it was through going through that very, very difficult situation that you received the extravagant gift of knowing that you know beyond all measure that God is real and that Jesus Christ was, is who he says he is. He is with us.
Well, you're right, Denise, because my relationship with Christ was all that mattered. I didn't think about what I looked like, what kind of car I drove, what was in my bank account. I was thinking, number one, we're all dying.
Right.
And number two, I'm glad I have peace with Jesus. And at the eye of the storm, unlike what I had prayed in the morning, keep us safe, put your angels around us, let no harm come to me.
Yeah.
But God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want. Instead, four of us born-again Christians were put in the eye of the storm, and one of them had the bomb explode in her back.
Wow.
Right.
I knew some of these stories were going to come, so I did a little homework, and I have a verse to share. We're going to take a break in just a minute, but this is the one, and all of mine are from Psalms, because I just love the depth of the Psalms and the reminder of God's presence and his ability to come alongside and preserve and protect and give us that peace. This one is from Psalm 18, verse 6. It says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried to God for my help. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help came before him into his ears." And so what I want to say about that is that we all have our terrors, right? We all have our difficulties. We have our trauma and our drama. And we're going to listen to a couple of local businesses that help people with those very same kinds of things.
Life is a journey, and it really helps to have a roadmap, especially during your golden years of life. There are at least 80 senior living communities and 1,100 adult care homes in just the Greater Portland, Vancouver metro area. At no cost to you or your family, you can plan now for the right fit for yourself or loved ones. Golden Placement Services is the roadmap to your new home. In four simple steps, assessment, research, touring, and follow-up, the Golden Girls will help you prepare for the next part of your journey.
We found Golden Placement Services to be very helpful to us in locating a care facility for our father. They asked good questions to ascertain what kind of facility we were looking for. We were taken to a few homes that fit the criteria we were seeking, and we're very happy with the care our dad's receiving from the facility found for us by Golden Placements.
Visit our website at goldenplacements.com to learn more. That's goldenplacements.com, or call one of the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145, and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
As you listeners can tell, there is so much content here. You're going to want to go get Jeanette's book, and it's going to be, you can make contact with us about our sponsors or about this book on our website, secondhalfnow.com. And you can also go and Denise spelled out the Jeanette's name here, so you can go to her website, JeanetteChafee.com, and you can have to rewind a little bit to get to the spelling. So we're going to move ahead, and I'm going to give you the second. Denise thinks she always already has the...
I know, and then I'm wrong, but I'm staying confident here.
Okay, well, we'll see if it withstands the second clue, okay? So here are the clue, or the quote, first of all. When we can talk about our feelings, and by the way, I picked this because trauma and drama, that's all about feelings. It's all about emotion. It's all about stuff that we're going through. Okay, so the quote, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust with that important talk can help us know that we are not alone. Second clue, this person was a Presbyterian minister, a songwriter, author, and TV host. He was inducted into the TV Hall of Fame and received the Presidential Medal of Honor, mostly for his work with kids. That's clue number two.
Feeling pretty smug over here. Just want to let you know.
We'll see.
I don't have a clue.
Well, I got to say, we have a surprise at the end. We're going to play a song so that everybody will know
who
this is.
That's right. Well, getting back to the topic at hand, and that is some of those difficult times when that provoke all kinds of feelings and very, very difficult, frightening, overwhelming feelings. And so I'm going to remind our listeners of the psalm that you just gave us, Psalm 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And that's exactly, Jeanette, what you say that you did on that plane. Jesus, only you can help. Nobody even knows we're in trouble. Please don't let us die. Mm-hmm. And he rescued you. And what he helped you learn, and what these stories that you've written help us learn, is that we're not alone. And I want to just take another minute here. Elizabeth Elliott, who you're going to be sharing some of that story with us, she said, it makes a tremendous difference to know that Jesus Christ is there in your hospital room, in that lonely kitchen, or whatever your horrifying situation is. I'm here to say you are not alone. Mm. You are loved. He died for you. He wants to give you joy. And that was coming from Elizabeth Elliott, who experienced such great loss. So with that, Jeanette, I would love our audience to hear your insights from Elizabeth Elliott.
Well, I was blessed to have many times with her. And one day I said, did you ever say that, God, you've just gone too far this time? She said, yes. She told me, isolated in the Amazon jungle with a 3-year-old daughter on a long canoe trip to get back home. She said, I can't take it another day. We'd been sleeping in the hammocks. The canoe is sopping wet. I'm going to sit another dreadful, dismal day. She said, people don't know the coldest thing in the world is to be in the South American jungle. I've never been so freezing. It was so dismal, and I felt all alone, she said, and so extremely isolated that day, she said. Then she said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And isn't bad enough that I have to sit on the bottom and be sopping wet for another 10 hours? But Valerie didn't ask to be born into this. She's 3 years old. And then the Lord brought to her mind Matthew 28:20. I am with you always, even to the end of the world, which was the Amazon jungle to her.
No joke.
And she said, Jesus Christ was there in the canoe with Valerie and me, and he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then Elizabeth told me, she said, I knew I was not alone. But her influence was very great, because her daughter said that her mom loved Isaiah 43, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flame won't scorch you. I am the Lord your God. And Valerie said, this helped my mom a lot after my dad was killed, to think about that verse. And the big impression on Valerie's life, who was 10 months old when her daddy, Jim Elliott, was killed, was my mom, she always was faithful. And God always said over and over, Elizabeth, will you trust me now? Mm-hmm. Will you trust me even if you don't understand? Maybe Elizabeth doesn't even know that her granddaughters, who wrote tributes in the book, said that Granny, is what they called her, made me feel like a princess because we drank tea out of English bone china cups and she made homemade soup and gave us scoops of ice cream. But what they remembered was faithfulness in the little things. Elizabeth, her namesake, said the principal thing she learned was Elizabeth Elliot, Granny's faithfulness in the little things that she repeated over and over. It wasn't words, she lived it.
And we're going to hear more about Elizabeth, and we still have a couple of other stories we hope to get to on part two, which is going to be what we have been calling the podcast, available online at secondhalfnow.com. So those of you who are listening and are engaged with these stories, you got to get on your computer or your device, internet connection, and get over to secondhalfnow.com and see the podcast uploads there. You can hear this side that we've just done, plus the other one, too. So we're going to have more with Jeanette, a couple of other stories, and you want to go over there. We also have, over the next weeks, we have a number of very good guests that are coming in to talk about a lot of the other issues and challenges that we face as boomers and beyonders. And the on-air portion is available there. And give us a little time here, because we're still mm-hmm. we still have a web developer that is putting all this up for us. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just want to encourage everybody. You want to tune in Mondays 5:30 to 6 every week, every Monday, KKPZ 1330, The Truth. Then go to the podcast and hear the rest. Because what's on the podcast, this part two, is only available then. So I want to thank you for listening today. There's more on that other side, more stories, and the rest of Elizabeth Elliot, a great missionary story. Thank you for listening today. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. And what we say, tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. So we'll continue our conversation on the podcast, part two. See you there.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330 The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com. Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on, with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
And welcome to the second half of Second Half Now. Sometimes we call this the podcast. I think we're going to start calling it part two, because you know you're not complete listening to this whole show until you've heard part one and part two. And so, by the way, if you're listening this online, listening to the podcast version, if you have not heard part one, you got to go back and hear that. It sets all the context, and it's everything building up to what we're about to do now. But now we're gonna proceed, and we're so delighted to have in our studio today our guest, Jeanette Chafee. She's author of this great new book called Extravagant Graces, 23 Inspirational Stories of Facing Impossible Odds. So as I mentioned, we've already covered a couple of the stories, and they're just gripping. And the application to every listener, every person of faith, or every person who wished they had faith or had more faith, this is absolutely applicable. And so Jeanette is helping us dig deeper into the question for today's show, and that's called, here's the question, Trauma and Drama, How to Respond and How to Prepare. So we're going to get back to our conversation in just a moment. I just want to remind you that you can go to our website anytime, and bear with us while we finish up some technical changes on our website with a new web developer, but there you can click on those part one and part two and hear it all. So Denise is going to help us get back into our fascinating and gripping conversation with the author of the new book, Extravagant Graces, Jeanette Chafee, right here in the studio with us.
Right here in Little Portland, Oregon. And actually, the stories that Jeanette is sharing with us today, the one in particular that we left off with was a story about Elizabeth Elliot, and it has some very powerful hometown connections that that she'll be able to share with us. But I again, just want to share a little bit about what has been said about Jeanette's book. Richard Stearns, who's president of World Vision U.S., said, Jeanette Chafee is another example that God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. And Elizabeth Elliot is one of those extraordinary people, and so was Jim Elliot and the other missionaries that are such an integral part of missionary lore, but Jim Elliot is a hometown boy. So would you catch our audience up just a little bit about who Elizabeth Elliot and Jim Elliot were in the first place and why they're so central to our discussion today?
Yes, and there's another Northwest of the five men also from Seattle, Washington. So my story is speared, betrayed by new friends. Why would God plant the desire for missions into the hearts of five remarkable Americans, including Jim Elliot and Pete Fleming, have them travel thousands of miles into one of the most remote jungles in the world, only to let them be senselessly slaughtered? 50 years later, the answer is clear. In 1956, five men attempted contact with the Aka, the most vicious known people in the world. The men's single purpose was to tell the tribe about the love of Christ. And we talked about Elizabeth in the last show. When the men were speared to death, the killer of Nate Saint, we just heard the endorsement, you'll see it, hear it on the program from daughter Kathy Saint about her daddy being killed. That killer said, my heart was dark like night, but Jesus came and washed it. Now I walk his trail. And wow. Kathy's father, Nate Saint, said, I'm ready to deliver up the life I owe to God. And Jim Elliot always said, God, send me to the Aka. And he gave his life. So Elizabeth talks about you are not alone in the canoe where she was so alone. So maybe our listeners, maybe the readers today, you're not alone. You're alone. It might be to be faithful. Great role model to the grandchildren. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what Valerie always said. Valerie said, my mom stayed focused on the scripture, Isaiah 41:20. You would believe and know the Lord. She always told herself, it's not what I could do. I am to be a good steward. I am to be faithful. And that's what Valerie grew up with. She said, my mother focuses on knowing the Lord, being faithful to him, and answering the question, will you trust me now, Elizabeth, even though you don't understand? So maybe for you, you could make someone feel like a princess by having an international student over for an hour, make hot oatmeal raisin cookies that Granny Elizabeth Elliot made her grandkids, or buy a package of cookies. Have somebody over for an hour, give them tea in an English bone china cup, and maybe 40 years from now, they'll be talking about how you made somebody feel like a princess, or send somebody a birthday card. Or maybe you can forgive someone who has deeply hurt you. One of the grandchildren said her greatest lesson was, one day I asked Granny, Granny, how could you go live with the killers of my grandpa, Jim Elliot? And Granny said, it was God's will, all to his glory. Mm-hmm. Christiana, the granddaughter, said, in that moment, I learned the greatest life lesson ever. Granny forgave the unthinkable. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can do that. Maybe you can forgive someone, your best friend who betrayed you, or your spouse that betrayed you.
Right. Thank you so much, Jeanette. I mean, it's powerful, just absolutely powerful. And what I'm really hearing in what you're talking, in, as you talk, is that on the one hand, we are hearing the words of people that as Christians, they're big names. Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, Nate Saint, especially among folks who are involved in missions. These are big names. And Kathy Saint Drown, who is Nate Saint's daughter, she addresses this notion, you know, about, wow, I'm just me. I'm just here living in Portland, Oregon. God is using these people in such huge ways in which they have a legacy that lives on once they're gone. But what you're talking about here is he doesn't need us to have a big name for us to, as you say, have tea with a little girl and make her feel like a princess. We have that available to us today. So what Kathy St. Drown said about your book is she said, when reading about the lives of well-known Christians, our response can be to envy God's work in them and wonder why God doesn't seem to work that way in ours. But the real life stories and extravagant graces wonderfully inspire us to reflect on how God uses each one of us in our own unique settings to glorify himself and further his kingdom purposes. So in spite of the loss of her father, and Elizabeth Elliot, in spite of the loss of her husband and their whole vision, they were able to find God in all of that. And I'd like to use that to launch into the next story that you want to share with us, and that's about the losses that Shirley Dobson, another name we're so familiar with, that she endured. Will you take us into that story?
Who would ever think that she would be troubled?
Right.
And you can read more about it at JeanetteChafee.com on my website and see pictures. Shirley Dobson, when she was a little girl, she was 5 years old, with an alcoholic father, walked up the street to a little church, and the first person in her life ever told her, I have good news for you. Jesus loves you. And Mrs. Baldwin, her Sunday school teacher, told her that. When she was six, she became a Christian. She believed it. Who would ever imagine? Could you tell a six-year-old? I have a secret to tell you. Jesus loves you. You have no clue. Maybe the person you tell that to will find the invention for cancer. Maybe it will be another Shirley Dobson, the national chairperson. Small does not mean insignificant. Mm. She was greatly troubled. The 31 years they had lived in California, all their college friends that knew them before they became famous, living in the same house for 19 years, and always dreaming that her grandkids, of course, would play in the same sandbox where her kids played, in their beautiful manicured yard and Cape Cod house, until Focus on the Family decided to move to Colorado. She knew she wanted to try to be a good sport, but according to her husband, she was dragged with two, you could see two bros being dragged behind them in the car all the way from California to Colorado. She was miserable. Mm. Every day in Colorado, she was miserable. She wanted to go back home. That's where she belonged, was in California. But she was attempting cheerfulness, but it didn't work. You know, when you're cheerful and you're not really, sooner or later
right,
it shows, right,
that.
Denise?
Attempting cheerfulness, that's a
you
picture.
Can only fake it, like, so long. Mm-hmm. One day, she was putting on her makeup and getting dressed, And she felt in her spirit the Lord spoke to her and said, I'm not interested, Shirley, in your happiness. I'm interested. I want you to do my will. And Mrs. Dobson said, at that moment was when she yielded fully and irrevocably and said, all right, Lord, I would rather be in your will than to be happy. And from that moment on, she had perfect peace and has ever since. And I named her story, Where God Guides, God Provides. And she said, I think this is like Sarah when God told Abraham to go on a journey, leave your family, leave your friends, go to an unknown land. She says, I am sure that Sarah fretted a lot about that move. But she said, it's better to be in his will than to have everything your heart desires. Yielding to his gentle leading is always the right thing to do, even when it's difficult. So maybe for our listeners, maybe your loss is you have to leave your home and go to retirement home or assisted living. Or maybe your loss is you've lost some independence, like you can't drive your car anymore or you're on a walker and it's not the same. Or maybe your loss is you just got word that your son and his family are going to move 3,000 miles for his job and the grandkids aren't going to be close anymore. Your loss. We all have losses, whether it's widowhood, moving, whatever it is.
I got a Bible verse I want to throw in here. I brought my little stack of 3x5s that have helped me really, literally, through some very difficult times. And when God wakes me up at 2:30 in the morning, I open up my Bible at my desk and I read through a variety of Psalms, and some of them just jump out at me. And so I get my pen and I pull out a fresh new 3x5 card and I write it down. And here's one that we've all heard before. It's in a very familiar, it's Psalm 42. But listen to these words, speaking of loss and speaking of dark times and trauma and drama. These are the words from God in Psalm 42. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And so we are talking about trauma and drama. We're hearing some great personal stories and the application. And I'm just hoping, ladies, Jeanette and Denise, that the people that are listening are able to connect with not just the stories, but what's going on underneath. You know, the stress and the tension and these feelings, these terrible things that, you know, we weren't prepared for, we didn't ask for them, we didn't sign up for them, but they come barging into our lives. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that when something like that happens for us, even though we might resist it, we might hate it, we might drag our feet like Shirley Dobson did all the way across the Rockies from California to Colorado, but in each of those things, the present, what we're going through now, is God preparing us for what is to come. It may not be the next thing, and it may not be right away, but he is building us in us the kinds of things that we're going to need for the next thing that comes our way. So I want to remind us of the who said that. I'm going to bring out the quote and give the first two clues, and you got to hang in there and listen, because Denise thinks she has it, I think. And maybe I'll confuse her with the last clue, maybe not. But here's the first two. Okay, first of all, the quote, we can talk about our feelings. When we talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust with that important talk can help us know that we are not alone. First clue of who said that? This person knew about feelings because, after all, his middle name was McFeely. It really, really was. It is unlikely that any American boomer or beyonder has not heard of his name, but most people refer to him by Mr. rather than using his first name. Second clue, this person was a Presbyterian minister, a songwriter, author, and TV host. He was inducted into the TV Hall of Fame and received the Presidential Medal of Honor mostly for his work with kids. More to come, but when we experience our own trauma and drama, we need people to help us, and that's what these folks do for us. Listen.
Life is a journey, and it really helps to have a roadmap, especially during your golden years of life. There are at least 80 senior living communities and 1,100 adult care homes in just the Greater Portland, Vancouver metro area. At no cost to you or your family, you can plan now for the right fit for yourself or loved ones. Golden Placement Services is the roadmap to your new home. In four simple steps, assessment, research, touring, and follow-up, the Golden Girls will help you prepare for the next part of your journey.
We found Golden Placement Services to be very helpful to us in locating a care facility for our father. They asked good questions to ascertain what kind of facility we were looking for. We were taken to a few homes that fit the criteria we were seeking, and we're very happy with the care our dad's receiving from the facility found for us by Golden Placements.
Visit our website at goldenplacements.com to learn more. That's goldenplacements.com, or call one of the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145, and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
All right, now what we've been waiting for, the conclusion of our show, which is unfortunate because there is so much to tell and to talk about. But I'm going to give clue number three to the quote, and we've just heard the quote itself and the first two clues. So here is clue number three. This is your last chance. And I'm looking at Denise, making sure if she gets some kind of a knowing nod or whether she shrugs and says,
"I am there."
Oh, I thought I had it. Okay, here's clue number three. Several buildings and artworks in Pennsylvania are dedicated to his memory, and one of his trademark sweaters is in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Let's get back to our topic.
I have to keep waiting to be right.
Yes.
Dang.
It's coming up, though.
All right.
It's coming up. Hang on.
All right. Well, I'd like to introduce the final story that Jeanette is going to share with us today, with a quote from this person, because what we're talking about here at the bottom of it, like you said, is grief. We're dealing with losses, and whether those losses are people or abilities or familiarity, where we're living. It's all about how do we manage overwhelming loss. And Sandra Aldrich, who is the person we'll talk about next, said, after the death of her husband unexpectedly, she said, "I had two children who needed me. They had lost their daddy physically. I didn't want them to lose me emotionally. I didn't want to be one of those hand-wringing widows who insists her grief is greater than what anyone else has experienced. I believe my grief is something I will never get over, but rather through." You've had an opportunity to spend some time with this family. Will you share with us now the story of Sandra Aldrich?
Well, I'd love to, Denise. I first heard about Sandra when she was on Focus on the Family. She used to be the senior editor of Focus on the Family. She never dreamed that at age 39, her husband would have brain cancer, die. She would be a widow, unprepared, getting married, but she never imagined death. She said that at night, she prayed for comfort and peace, and she literally say, Jesus, you've promised to be my husband. And good husband should, and then fill in the blank. She said, should adore me, should give me wisdom, should love me, should give me guidance. And then she'd have a good night's sleep, believing that God would give her direction. She knew it would be very important to be there for her children and learn to have fun. She kept garbage bags in the trunk of the car, so whenever they'd come to snow, they could stop and sled on their way to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
That's awesome.
She said, you took the wrong parent, God, because Dawn was fun-loving and the laughter ricocheted off the walls of the house. But she never blamed God. She said, I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me. She said, during the times when Don had his long illness before he died, I often thought Psalms, I often remembered Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God, would pop into her head. The scriptures that she had memorized through the years allowed the Lord to comfort her that way, which I would encourage all of us, including our listeners, to memorize scripture and read it and reread it and have it ready. Maybe for our listeners, when the nights were so hard for Sandra, maybe her life was filled. Maybe your life is filled with emptiness. The children aren't around. There's no more laughter. No putting the kids to bed and reading Bible stories and kissing them goodnight and having big hugs. Maybe your night is filled with loneliness. No spouse to talk to or cuddle with. You read alone, but don't discuss it with anyone. Maybe your night is filled with dread. How much longer can I keep going without using a walker? It's 2 weeks before my Social Security check comes. How will I make it on so little? This is what encouraged Sandra to stay close to Jesus.
Time for a Bible verse. I'm going to throw in another psalm right here. It's perfect. Psalm 42. First two verses, it says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And I'm just thinking in these lonely nights, these times when things are so quiet, and maybe there is dread, maybe there is loneliness, maybe there's regrets, whatever else, this verse can come. Because my soul thirsts for God. I want him. It's like a drink of fresh water for me. So that fits into your story. Thank you. We have a little bit of more time left, and let's finish this up with the story that we're on now. Did we cover all the stories that we had planned?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what else can we say? And Denise, feel free. You haven't been able to say anything about your professional expertise as a clinical psychologist and with your neurobiological training, and I say that I can hardly pronounce it, but you understand these things. What's going on in a person's life when these fears and these traumas and dramas, can you give us a little professional clue about this, what's going on in the physical life?
Well, you know, if our audience has been tuned in and has been like in the arena with us, they might be feeling what goes on right now.
Yeah.
Because I sure am. The one hand, there's heaviness in there, right? The system, the body, it just feels heavy. And that heaviness pulls us down. It's physiological. There are brain regions that are sending out chemical messages and all that that result in this heavy feeling of dread and fear. But at the same time, what we also have is we need hope. We need hope. And when we are aware that we're not alone and that there are other people going through these things, and when we can be with them, And we can see them look at us and say, it will be okay. You will get through this dark time. Then our hope is lifted. And then, of course, what we know as Christians takes it to that spiritual level. And I believe it, that when I tune in and I ask the Holy Spirit to be with me and to comfort me, that he physically is there. My body feels his presence. And that, to me, brings me back to one of my favorite scriptures, which says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. And I know it full well because I feel in my physical body the presence of the Lord, and it will get us through that valley like he promises.
Let me ask this question. When you feel that, it's a physical sensation or a physical sense, how does that then transmit to your emotional life? Because I'm sure that's what's being upset at that time.
Right.
So does that physical presence calm the emotion and the stress that's going on? Tell us about that.
Does for me. Does it for you?
Yeah.
Fear to hope. We go along a spectrum of fear to hope, and somewhere in the middle there's a calm that comes over us that allows hope to grow.
Right. Jeanette, I'm looking over at you, and you're looking through a book and for maybe something that popped into your mind, and now you're trying to find it. So
yes,
take a few seconds to do that. Maybe now would be a good time for me to finish up my Who Said That, and the grand revealing will be here. And she found the spot, so we'll come back to that. So here, we're going to close out the show with this. Who said that? I'm going to read the quote and then all three clues, and then we have a special surprise at the end. Because we're talking about talking to people, Jeanette has interviewed these people who have been through trauma and drama, and they have been able to talk to her, and that's why this quote is so telling. It says, here's the quote, when we can talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust with that important talk can help us know that we are not alone. And here's the three clues. Who said that? This person knew about feelings because, after all, his middle name was McFeely. I laughed when I saw that. I thought, you got to be kidding me, but it really is. Okay, here's more. Clue one. And it is unlikely that any American boomer or beyonder has not heard his name, though most people refer to him as Mr. rather than using his first name. Clue number two. This person was a Presbyterian minister, a songwriter, author, and TV host. He was inducted into the TV Hall of Fame and received the Presidential Medal of Honor for his work with kids. And clue number three, several buildings and artworks in Pennsylvania are dedicated to his memory, and one of his trademark sweaters is in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Who said that?
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor, I'm glad we're together again.
All right, now everybody knows, but we haven't said his name yet. So, Denise, if this is the one you've been thinking about from the beginning, you go ahead and give us the answer.
Of course it's Mr. Rogers.
Of course.
Of course. And Mr. McFeely was the train conductor, I think.
Oh, interesting. You know, I knew it was ringing a bell, but I didn't realize it was actually Fred Rogers' middle name.
Right.
How about that? You learn something every time on this show. Jeanette, you found what you were looking for. Let's hear that.
Right. And I want to remind people that Jeanette is available to share this these wonderful insights. She's going to share one with us now as we head out. But she's available to speak to your church or your school on these kinds of topics. And just like Mr. Rogers, I really do believe that by us addressing these issues and talking them out with each other, we make progress in our lives. So, Jeanette, lead us out with your quote.
Sure. They can also go on my website, JeanetteChaffee.com, JeanetteChaffe, as in Fred, EE.com. Well, I leave you with the verse for the book, Extravagant Graces. I am with you. That is all you need. Can you guess who said that? Okay, I'll keep reading. My power shows up best in weak people. Mm-hmm. God. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So the theme of the book is that, and Anne Lamott said, when God's going to do something wonderful, he always starts with a hardship. But when God is going to do something amazing, he starts with an impossibility. And that's what Extravagant Graces is. 23 stories of facing impossible odds.
Wow.
Wow. Excellent conclusion. We're going to have to wrap it up here, but that was so good. And there's lots more in the book and on the website. And if you can find a way to contact Jeanette and ask her to come to your church or school or civic group or whatever, she has much, much more to tell, believe me. We've tried to kind of trim it all down for one radio-sized piece, but there is a lot, lot more. So you want to go to our website anytime, day or night, and hear the podcast here, part one and part two, secondhalfnow.com. That's it for our show this time. When you go to the podcast or when you go to the website, you can submit a response form, a request for more information. If you didn't get onto Jeanette's website correctly, forgot how to spell it or whatever, just ask us right there on our website, and we'll get that information right out to you. So God bless you, Jeanette. Thank you again for coming in for such a beautiful and gripping and meaningful time together.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, folks, for listening today. Together, we are building a resource for all of us. Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. And we really do mean this, tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. I'm one of the hosts, Dr. Dan Critchett, along with our co-host, Dr. Denise Lopez-Hogan. Let's meet again next Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m., right here on KKPC 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330, The Truth, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.